The book of Daniel, chapter 6. Amen. Real joy to be able to stand here in the name of the Lord. We got a big crowd in here today, and so we ask you to please be quiet and reverent. Nobody walking around during the message. If you got any chewing gum, swallow it. Put it in your sock. You don't have to swallow it. Put it in your sock. Amen. Okay. And everybody be just as quiet as you possibly can while we bring the message this morning. Very important to every person here. Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. This story here, I'm sure you're familiar with. Daniel had just been rescued from the lion's den. The den of lions. And they threw him in there, and you've heard me tell the story over and over and over. This is one of my stories I tell. Me and Carrie tells at night time. We get in there, and boy, we have a time in there. I love telling stories. And I'm David killing the giant, you know, and before we get through, I'm jumping on the bed and jumping up and down. She's just laughing, covering her head up, you know, and I'm acting like Goliath. And one of the stories I tell her is about Daniel and the lion's den. And, you know, the Bible says that God, when Daniel was in the lion's den, God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth. It didn't say their appetite left, or they didn't want to. If I always tell her that the lion gritted his teeth and said, "Boy, I'd like to have a bite of him. I can't get my mouth open for some reason. A lockjaw." And that's what happened. The Lord shut them lions' mouths and they couldn't open them. And the Lord got him out of there, delivered him, brought him out. And when that happened, that made this old heathen king say, "There is no God like the God of Daniel." They worship stone and they worship trees and shout, about like people are doing today. We're not living in that much of a modern time. People are still worshiping stone, idol, and wood now, same as it was back then. And the king said, "We worship all kinds of things, but Daniel serves the living God." And he said, "Nobody better not open their mouth about Daniel's God." And he made a decree, verse 25, Daniel 6, 25. "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages, and that dwell in all the earth, 'Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, I want you to think about where the king said he served the living God. Now, I want to bring you a message on the subject this morning. He lived. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege, opportunity that we have once again, Lord, to be able to bow on our knees and call thee our Father. Thanking you, Lord, for every expression of your love and concern for us. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of walking back in these doors and standing behind this sacred desk, opening this perfect book and preaching the word of the living God. Lord, I'm glad this morning that you're not dead. I'm glad we're not bowing down in front of this pulpit or these microphone stands or maybe these bricks and mortar. But God, we're bowing before the living God who liveth and abideth forever. Lord, I pray for my brothers across the land this morning. I feel a burden for them today. Lord, they're standing behind the pulpit. And Lord, the powers of hell are against them. I pray you'd give them grace and power to overcome and preach the word. Lord, I pray this morning that you illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, that when they declare the word of God this morning, and if there is one person in this room today who is not convinced
from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, that you and you alone are not the true and living God. I pray this morning the Holy Spirit would speak to that heart and they would be convinced before they leave this place. And we'll praise you and thank you and glorify you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning, just for a few minutes, on the subject, He Lives. Thank God this morning we're able to stand with our Bibles and our churches this morning, open our song books, and tell the world that our Savior lives. He's not dead, but He lives. Oh, in the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 25, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. In the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 15, Paul told those heathen, he said, you need to turn from vanities to the living God. In 1 Samuel, chapter 17, when David was going to fight the giant, he went up there and he told the giant, he said, you have come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, the living God whose armies thou hast defied. A new doctrine has come along in the last 20 years, and they try to tell us now that God is dead. The atheists, they didn't make it too good. I mean, there's still a few of them around, but anybody with any sense got more sense than to believe that there's no God at all. See, an atheist is a man who says there's no God at all. In other words, what he believes is that everything came from nothing. Now, it doesn't take but about a six-year-old kid to realize that things do not come from nothing. So a lot of atheists have adopted the doctrine now that there had to be a first cause that got the ball a-rolling, and that was God. But since then, God got old and gray-headed, and he got feeble where he couldn't hardly move no more, and he died. And now he's dead this morning. And so I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, He Lives. There's an atheist on the street corner standing downtown one of our large cities with a sign that says there is no God. And an old man walked by him and on the back and punched his neighbor and said, he means that he knows of. He just ain't met God. There ain't no God he knows about yet. Before I got saved, I didn't know him either. But there's not a lot of people today think just because they don't know something, it ain't true. So I want you to know, friend, this morning, once you meet the Lord, you know that he's real. Whether or not he lives today has everything to do with you and I. If God is dead, we ought to just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Just live it up. Have a big time. But if God's not dead, and he does live, that means every one of us will look at him one day face to face. We'll rise from the dead, give an account of our lives, brother, and that throws a whole new light on the service. Yes, sir, Christianity thrives on one point, whether or not our Savior lives. The old song says, you ask me how I know he lives? Well, just suppose you come up and ask me that this morning. And you come up and you said, Danny Castle? I said, yes. And you said, how do you know that God lives? I would answer you this morning as a group, like I would answer you as an individual, if you came to me with that question. If you ask me how I know he lives, I'd tell you some of the things that I'm going to tell you this morning. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things I won't be able to tell you because the Tom is in the oven, and he might burn, and or Bill, or whatever you named yours, and he may burn, so I'll not keep you all day, but I'm going to tell you a few things how I know that the Lord is alive, okay? Now, I want you to listen now. One of the hardest things for you to do is get out of the rut of preaching and going to church. If you're not careful, you'll get to looking at the preacher and you'll start saying, my goodness, I want you to just, the words will be dead to you. The words will just, they won't register. But I want you to listen now as I tell you how I know he lives. First of all this morning, if you were to ask me how I know the Lord lives, I'd say first and foremost, the sure enough dying proof that I know that God is real and that he lives is, number one, the change that has taken place in my life and the lives of others. Brother, there is no way a person can change as much as they do when we get saved like we do, brother, when except God be real. I mean, there's either one or two things the matter with me this morning, according to the friends I went to school with. I was out at Hardee's one day, and I had this teacher that I had in high school was sitting over here with some other people. And I just happened to see her, and I heard about that time. She said, that's going to happen.
And this other one turned around and looked, and I looked down. And she turned around and looked, and I acted like I didn't see him. And she said, I had him in school, you know, and she said something else. I didn't catch that. She said, but now she's mixed up in some kind of religion. And I tried to catch the rest of what she said, and I couldn't tell what she was saying. Now, everybody that knew me before I got saved knows that I'm different now than I was then. Now, if a man don't believe in God, he has got a problem. He's got to explain the change. You say, oh, you just, you're a foot, too. There's Mike Dobson. He went to school with me. There's my wife. She was my girlfriend. If you don't think I've changed, just talk to them two after church. I used to come over to her house in the evening, and would flop down over on the couch and put my tennis shoes up on the coffee table. And I'd say, why don't you fix me some popcorn? And she'd go in there and fix some. We'd sit down and watch TV and waste the evening. And I wouldn't go to church. She used to try to get me to go to her church, and I wouldn't go. And I was rebellious. I didn't want nobody to tell me what I had to do, what I didn't have to do. And my heart, I didn't care about other people. I didn't know. Listen, it's as different as daylight and dark now as it was. It may be so long Linda's done forgot about it. It's almost like it was another world. It's almost like you look back at it now and you think, that couldn't have been me. It's almost like you look at it now and you think, I can't really believe that was actually me that done those things and hard and was hard-hearted and mean as the devil. Listen, the things I used to hate, now I love. I used to hate the wire tie. I still ain't crazy over it. But I used to hate it. And they'd make us wear one of the ball games. And I mean just as quick as I got out of sight, off that thing had come. Of course, back then, I wore them hypocrite ties. They just look like a tie. You know, you clip them on. They really ain't a tie. You clip them. I don't wear them ties no more because I can't breathe. And I jerk them out like this so I can breathe real good. But did you know, I hated that worse than anything. I wanted to go just sloppy as it could go. I hated him. I liked the other kind of music. I hated those, what they call our hymns. Somebody got up, Mom and Shirley. They used to sing, and we used to make fun of them. I felt bad about that. The one the Lord hadn't killed us. They'd get out there in the house and sing all the time, and they'd get in there and say, well, I tell her my sheep tonight. I'll kill her my sheep at God's door. And it didn't sound that bad, but we said it then. And me and Betty and my other sister, we'd get out in the yard. We'd be running around saying, well, I tell her my sheep tonight. I'll kill her my sheep. And we used to laugh and say, how in the world can they stand that kind of stuff? How in the world can they stand such music as that? And boy, I'd get in my car and I'd plug in Grand Funk Railroad. And I'd go down the road, you know, and I'd play in Alice Cooper, you know, and I'd all the Beatles tapes, and baby, you can drive my car, and all that. And I said, now, boy, that's music. And I'd listen to that stuff, and they'd start singing, I forgot some of the other songs they sang. They used to sing out about Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I want to go to heaven. Hell's an awful, awful place. And I thought, boy, them songs, they just ain't got it or something. No drums, nothing. I want you to know this morning, brother, if you took a tape player over here and you put Beta, you can drive my car in one tape player and put player, well, I sell to my sheep on the other one. Man, I'd just soon throw that one in the fire, and I want to hear, where will I sell to my sheep tonight? I changed, brother. You say, oh, you're just getting old. I've been like this since I was 19. Wasn't all that old then. I mean, I've done even, some of you, 30, you still ain't grown up enough yet. Some of you 40, you still ain't off the bottle. You still miss the Porter and Dolly and Ronnie Millsap and all the rest of that outfit. Somebody said, oh, Dolly's a good Christian. Yeah, I know. Next year she's going to make a new movie. Best Little Sunday School in Tennessee. Everybody's Christian nowadays. I want you to know the reason I know the Lord lives is because of change that's taken place in my life. I remember when I first got saved, some of my friends I run around with, they looked at me, and every time I'd be going down the street uptown, and I'd see somebody and they'd look at me like this. Hey, I heard about it. Poor old Danny. He went crazy. He's lost his mind. And they were like a big group over here saying, come back. Come back. Come back. And I would look at them, and I'd say, I wouldn't want to go back over there. I wasn't happy. I was miserable.
I remember all I done was play ball. And I got to where I even got sick of that. And brother, when I got sick of playing ball, son, I was depressed. And I remember I got to where I thought, oh, who cares? I don't even care about it. Who cares? I thought, well, what is there to life anyway? Brother, one night, about 15 more days now, it'll be 11 years ago, Nebo Baptist Church, I stood back to the back of the, almost the back of the church. Preacher was up there, and a bunch of young people was up singing. They said, people started going down the altar, getting saved, going up. I seen people crying, and my heart started pounding. And brother, that night, I stepped out of my seat, came down and fell on my face. And that night I got saved, I fell down and bawled like a baby for about an hour. It was 15 to 8. Got up about 8:30, 45 minutes, I suppose. And when I got up, I sat down right on the front seat. My eyes were swelled up and red as they could be. My sunburnt, and I was rubbing my face like this. I had on a big old pair of bell bottoms with a flag, like some kind of idiot, sewed on the bottom of them down there. That's what everybody wore then. And I sat down on the front seat, and that big old preacher, old Joe Parsons, got up and looked right there at me and said, you get everything straight, son. Right, just pick me up. I said, yes, sir. And I didn't really know if I had or not. But I didn't want him, I didn't want to be embarrassed in front of all them people. I said, yes, sir. And he said, that's good. And he started preaching. He preached for 2 hours. It went by just like that. I don't remember nothing he said. That night at service, one of my friends come up, put his arm around me, and said, oh, Danny, got saved. He said, I bet you're going to be a preacher. And I said, that's what you think. I said, listen, man, you got me in church. That's far as I'm going. And really, I thought he's crazy. I thought there is no way in this world that I would not get up there and preach. I wouldn't do it for all the money in this world. And I still agree with that. I still wouldn't do it for all the money in this world, but I'd do it for Jesus. And brother, it wasn't long that the Lord began to deal with me. And one of the reasons why I waited so long before I started preaching, waited 11 months. I said, Lord, my goodness, I just can't imagine myself as a preacher. And did you know I've been preaching 10 years now, and I still can't imagine myself as a preacher? I told my wife the other day, I said, I just can't imagine myself as a preacher. I still don't consider myself one. I reckon I might as well get used to it, because I'm doing it now, and I'm on my way, and if the Lord don't come, I just want to keep going on till He comes. But somehow or another, you just never think of yourself like that when you're growing up. I want you to know that's how I know the Lord's real this morning. The change is taking place, brother. I tell you, you couldn't have paid me $1 million to get up in front of a crowd in church and talk like that. But now, brother, I look forward to the day I can open the old book and stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, He's coming back. You know why? I know He lives, because the change has taken place in my life and the lives of others. We could stay here all day this morning giving you proof after proof after proof after proof that God is real. I can look around here some of these faces this morning, and I can see people. I saw J.D. back there. I ain't picked on him in a while. I remember we was praying for J.D. I remember old J.D. Ward. Man, he's an old hard-hearted sinner. And I remember I'd try to talk to him. Raise your hand back there, J.D., so everybody know who you are. That ugly man back there. That old J.D., he's right there. He'd go to his house and visit him. Now, I remember days we'd come up here, and there'd be about six women on this altar in the middle of the daytime, brother. And they'd be up here pouring their heart out, saying, God save J.D. And sharing some of the girls would pray, Lord save him, Lord save him. And when I seen them doing that, I said, uh-oh, he's had it. They better just look out. When a bunch of women gets to praying for you, son, you might as well just hang it up, because the Lord hears them prayers. And so he began to shun it, you know, and I went and visited him. One night he just looked down at the floor. And on Tuesday night, old J.D., brother, I talked to him. And I said, J.D., don't you want to get saved? He wouldn't say yes. He wouldn't say no. He wouldn't say nothing. Just look at the floor. And I said, J.D., sure you don't want to get saved. I waited about 5 minutes. He wouldn't say yes. He wouldn't say no. I said, J.D., you sure you don't want to get saved? He said he wouldn't say yes. He wouldn't say no. He's scared to say yes, but he didn't. He's scared to say no. I mean, he's in a predicament. And brother, I said, well, will you come to church Sunday? And we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that week. And sure enough, I had to preach in Virginia that morning. We had some kind of little dinner that evening. It snowed a little bit that morning. And I left a guy on the radio going over there. I remember that day. I come home that evening. I'd been up since about probably about 5:30 that morning. Drove all the way up next to Virginia to preach. And man, I was sleepy. I was so sleepy I couldn't stand it. I had them Sunday evening blogs. And I want to go to sleep so bad I couldn't stand it. And I said, no, I'm going to stay here and pray for J.D. I stayed up and I prayed in the floor all evening. Every time I'd get nothing about to go to sleep, I'd just shake myself and slap myself and say, God save him, God save him, God save him. I ain't going to sleep because I want you to save him. And that night, sure enough, we requested prayer for him in the prayer room. And we come out here and I preached on Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I got through preaching. I said, somebody here better get saved. And that morning, or that night rather, I give the invitation. And it seemed like there's a few people come. Nothing really special happened. And I said, we got to pray. Everybody bow your head and pray. And brother, we begin to pray. And about halfway through that prayer, I felt something just let go in here. And all of a sudden, I heard a squeal back yonder. Now I looked up and here he comes. Fell down and fell down right here. I want you to know, bless your heart, I come unglued. I want you to know, I said, glory be to God. Hallelujah. You can talk to somebody. I can talk to somebody. Things can happen to somebody, but they never change until God speaks to that heart. I want you to know, brother, there ain't never been a nut too hard for God to crack. I want you to know, brother, there ain't never been a man too hard for God to save. There ain't never been one. You say, I know one that's meaner than the devil. Amen. That's the kind he can say. That's the kind he can say. Our God's alive tonight, brother. I want you to know he's real. He ain't sick. He ain't even feeling bad. He is alive and well. I know he lives because of the change that has taken place in my life and the lives of others. By the way, if God died, we'd be the first ones to know about it. We're his children. The Lord sure wouldn't tell a bunch of people that didn't even believe in him. I mean, if God's dead, who pronounced him dead? Who went up and stood over the body and played the part of a coroner and said, he is officially dead? God. Who signed his death certificate? Who got a hearse big enough to go and get him? He said he fell to heaven. Where'd they take him if he died? Where was he buried? Where'd they bury the Lord if he died? And not only that, but how come I wasn't notified? I'm the next of kin in the family. I mean, if the Lord would have died, he's our father. And if a man dies, he's got to tell his kids about it. If the Lord had died, he wouldn't have told a bunch of professors that didn't even believe in him. We're his children would have been the very first to find out about it. You know how come I know he's alive? I just talked to him a while ago. He's fine. And then second, I know the Lord lives because we can still feel his presence. You say, oh, I can't feel the Lord's presence. Well, that don't mean he's dead. It may mean something's wrong with you. Don't always blame it on him. Every time I can't feel the Lord's presence, you know who I blame it on? Dan. I can't blame it on you. I can't blame it on him. I can't blame it on somebody else. If I can't feel the Lord's presence, it's me. We can still feel his presence. You say, well, that don't sound very scientific. We're living in a scientific day, and they say you must prove everything you believe. Or somebody done just shot you a line, brother. Somebody just fed you a bunch of hogwash. I want you to know this. It's very scientific to say we feel his presence in prayer. When you get down and pray, sometimes it feels like you're busting your head against the wall. But then all of a sudden, something just moves in the room with you. And you know there's a presence there. And you know that it's God. You know how come I know the Lord lives? It's because we can still feel his presence. You say, that ain't very scientific. Well, I'll tell you something else ain't scientific. These people that say you have to see it. You ever know anybody that said, how do you know God's real? You say, well, I can feel him when I pray and I know he's forgiving my sin. They said, I can't believe that because the only thing I can believe is what I can see. Next time one of them dummies tells you that and they say, I don't believe in nothing unless I can see it, you say, come here a minute, boy. And you put a fork in their hand and you take them over the wall and plug it in the socket with their hand held on to it and they'll be laying out on the floor. And you'll say, did something hit you? And they'll say, oh, no, I said, kill me. What's the matter with you? He said, well, I thought you didn't believe in nothing you couldn't see. You can't see electricity. If you don't believe it's real, pick your pocket knife and stick it in one of them sockets on the side of the wall. Man says, I don't believe in God. I can't see Him. Oh, don't be a fool, buddy. You believe in wind? Have anybody in here ever seen the wind? You say, I saw it blowing them trees. You just seen the trees moving. You didn't see the wind. You say, I saw a big dust. You saw the dust. You didn't see the wind. You say, I saw something flying through the air. You saw what the wind was doing. You can't see the wind. It's invisible. But you believe in it, don't you? A doctor told, well, a preacher was witnessing to a doctor one time. He said, doctor, you have a soul and you're going to heaven or hell. And the doctor said, that ain't scientific. And he said, how you know? He said, the doctor says, all right, give it the five tests. He said, test it out with your five senses. He said, have you ever saw it? Sight, you know, touch, smell, hear. And the preacher said, no, I ain't never saw it. And the doctor said, have you ever heard it? And the preacher said, no, I've never heard a soul. He said, have you ever smelled it? And the guy said, no, I ain't never smelled my soul. And the guy said, have you ever tasted it? And the guy said, sure. I tasted a lot of things. I've tasted food and I've tasted the past, but as far as tasting it with my taste, but no, I've never tasted a soul. And the doctor said, have you felt it? And the guy said, yes, I have. And he said, you mean to tell me out of the five senses, there's only one, and you still believe in it? You've never heard it. You've never saw it. You've never smelled it. You've never tasted it. And you still believe in it? It's real? And the guy said, yes, sir, I absolutely do. And the doctor said, that's not enough evidence for me to accept. And the preacher said, you're a doc, right? And he said, yep. He said, doctor, you believe in pain? And the doctor said, sure I do. Patients come in here with pain all the time. He said, have you ever saw it? The doctor said, no, I ain't never seen no pain. He said, have you ever heard it? The doctor said, no, I ain't never heard no pain. He said, have you ever smelled it? The doctor said, well, no, you can't smell pain. He said, have you ever tasted it? The doctor said, no, you can't taste pain. He said, you ever felt it? And the doctor said, sure, you can feel it. He said, there is just as much evidence we have a soul as there is you have pain. That's why I walked over here and I socked Ralph in the face. Boy, it makes you want to sometimes, don't it? Phyllis, where you at? All right, if I socked him in the face, he didn't see that. He might have saw my hand, but he didn't see the pain. But he sure felt it, didn't he? That's where your soul is. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. But, brother, you can sure feel it. And if you never felt your soul, it may be because you're dead. I remember, brother, many times when I felt the Lord's presence. I remember time after time after time after time when I'd be getting ready to preach. And it seemed like the heavens were brass. And it seemed like I couldn't get nothing. And then just all of a sudden, things began to click. Brother, things began to come in my mind. And the Lord began to pour it on me so fast I couldn't hardly contain it. Yes, sir. I know He lives because we can still feel His presence. But then number three this morning, I know He lives because I've put Him to the test and He proved Himself. Amen. Many times you find this was done in the Bible. Moses at the Red Sea. When the Red Sea was there and they was facing it, and the children of Israel said, what are we going to do now, big boy? And Moses turned around and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now Moses didn't know what God was going to do, I don't reckon. But he stuck out his staff and he said, we're just going to put him to the test. And when he stepped out there on faith, the Lord parted the water. You know God's real when you put Him to the test. When you step out on one of His promises and find it to be true. God proves that He's real. You know what's the matter with most people nowadays? We don't know what living by faith is it about. Most Christians have never even took one step by faith. We have to see it. We have to make sure. We have to have a solid income. We have to have to do this and that. But you know when God will really show you He's real? When you just step out there not knowing where it's coming from and not knowing what you're going to do, but saying, God, I'm taking this step by faith, and if you don't catch me, I'm a goner. He'll put His hand under there, and He'll prove to you that He's real. Old Daniel calls him to shut the lion's mouth. I remember a lot of times when I thought the Lord wanted me to do something that sounded crazy. But after I'd go ahead and do it, the Lord would prove it real every time. And one time, a couple of days after Christmas, I was walking down the street up here and on Main Street. We used to preach up there in Main Street and Marion all the time before Roses moved out. When Roses moved out, that just about shot the downtown crowd. And we used to preach up there a lot before the shopping centers were, you know, before Baton Rouge Yonder was there. Baton Rouge Yonder was there. And used to go up there and preach, and
I remember it was 2 days after Christmas. We'd preached almost every day of the week before Christmas. And me and a friend of mine, I got together, we was praying, and I said, I think I ought to go uptown and preach. And he said, well, I've got to borrow some money to get over Christmas. Let's go. So we went in, and he went in a loan company up on the main street there, used to be. And I got over in the courthouse loan, and I mean, it's deader than 4 o'clock. And there wasn't nobody uptown. The only people uptown were somebody just come to change something, you know, run in and out of the store, something that didn't fit, and it was just in and out. There wasn't a car on Main Street. And I thought, the Lord wants me to preach, and so I started preaching. I looked down the street, there wasn't one soul. I looked up the street, there wasn't one soul. And the devil said, boy, you are crazy. He said, people are going to honestly think you're nuts. And I said, I know they are, and I agree with you. But I believe the Lord wants me to do it, and so I'm just going to go ahead and just do it. You know, you'll never do nothing for God until you're willing to make a fool out of yourself. It'd do a bunch of yous good sometime if you just embarrass your flesh a little bit. Go ahead and witness that, boss man. Say, oh, he might make fun of me. Well, I'd be good for you. Embarrass that old flesh once in a while. Don't pamper it and pet it. Give it everything it wants. Give up something. Just step out on a limb once in a while. I stood there and I started preaching, and it went just once in a while there'd be a car come by. And they'd look at me like, what is he doing? And it was real warm. We had some strange weather that year. And 2 days after Christmas, it was just warm as it could be. I got up to about 70 degrees that day. And they had the windows down, and when a car come by, I'd say, boy, there's somebody. And then they'd leave, and there wouldn't be nobody. Now, it gives you a funny feeling to just be hollering up a storm preaching and not one single person in sight. And so I went on, you know, and I finished, you know, and my friend came out of the loan company over there and came across the street, and I said, you going to preach? He said, no, I don't believe I got anything today. And I said, all right, let's go. So we walked back behind, across the courthouse lawn, back between there and the barber shop, down that little road there, down behind the parking lot. And as we were coming out through there, we met a policeman coming out of the courthouse steps. And he came down through there, and he looked at us kind of funny. And I said, how you doing? And he said, fine, how are you boys today? We went on and got in the car and left. I never thought nothing else about it. About 2 days later, I run into this girl that I knew from school. And she said, Danny, come here a minute. I said, what is it? And she said, what'd that policeman do to you the other day? I said, what policeman? She said, the policeman that come to get you. And I said, did one come to get me? And she said, yeah, there's a law sent to get you the other day and make you quit preaching. I said, what are you talking about? She said, the other day when you was preaching at the courthouse. And I said, oh, what do you mean? And she told me that they were having court that day, that a murder trial up in the courthouse. And it was before they got air conditioning. And it had all them great big old long windows up in the courthouse. And they had them all open. And there wasn't no traffic in town. And my voice was bouncing right off the bank, back across the street, right into the courtroom. And they could hear every word I said. And they finally just quit talking, and the judge said, somebody go down there and tell him to be quiet. We can get on with this trial. And so he sent the officer down there to get me and make me hush. And of course, the time he got down there, I was done through anyway. We just waved at him and went on. And she said, we sat there and listened to you for a few minutes. And when she said that, son, I like to have a spell. I said, glory to God, that's why the Lord wanted me to preach. I say every time the Lord wants you to do something, He's always got a reason for it. You say, oh, it's just coincidence. No, sir. I went up there a lot of times and didn't feel that inspiration or that impression. I want you to know, I believe He lives because I put Him to the test and saw Him prove Himself. Somewhere up there in the county penitentiary somewhere, this morning, there's an old boy sitting there who was tried and convicted, by the way, later on for murder. But before he went, he heard somebody holler, Jesus loves you, and He's willing to save you if you'll let Him. I want you to know, friend, we've got a God we can depend on.
We've got a God that we can put to the test. You say something, I just feel like the Lord let me down. No, the Lord never lets you down. He may let you go through a battle. He may put you through a hard time. But bless your heart, He'll never let you down. You might let Him down, and a lot of our problems we bring on ourselves. But the Lord never will let you down. I know He lives this morning. I mean, one time I preached at the trade lot, and sunny clouds got dark, you know, and everything. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And as soon as I closed my Bible, I said, amen, I'll be praying for you. It come a downpour. People walking up there wouldn't listen, you know, and everything. And I mean, as soon as I said amen, it didn't start raining slow. It just... everybody just started running, scattering. And the Lord does all kind of little things like that. It's all right, just, well, it may not be. Couldn't tell me that. One time I was preaching here, it was the night Archie got saved. I bet Archie don't remember this. The night Archie got saved, we had another one of them good ones. And by the way, all you Christians ought to be praying regularly for them good ones, because time's running out and people are going to hell. And the night Archie got saved, I'd say he probably don't remember this, but we didn't have any paneling. We didn't have any ceiling. There was nothing here but insulation and steel beams and old block walls and old windows that you could just shake. Feel the cold air just blowing in around them. And a train always come by over there about 8 o'clock on Sunday night. And it still does, I reckon. You hear it once in a while when it's quiet in here, but you can't hear it like you could before we got rid of those old windows. One night I preached on the whirlwind of the Lord. And I give an illustration about how these people were up in this old hotel. I believe it's up in New York. And up there, there's up there, there's talking, and all of a sudden, a train started coming down the track. And it was cold in here, you know. It was in, I believe, 1st of January on New Year's night. And I had everybody's attention, you know, and I was telling them a story, and I said, all of a sudden, a train started coming. And when I heard said that, it went, come down, I said, thank you, Lord. Everybody just listening just like this, man. They could almost hear it like it was real. But you know, the Lord, if you'll watch and if you'll pay attention, you'll pray up. The Lord does all kind of little things like that. I preached on Noah and the flood. Boy, and it'd be thunder and lightning outside. I'd say, and the Lord go, boom, shake the whole church. I know He's real this morning. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes, brother, we get discouraged. Sometimes the devil said, won't you just give up and quit? But way down deep inside, brother, I know that He lives. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. I know He lives because I've put Him to the test. Many other things we could talk to you about. I must go along right quick. I know He lives, closing, because He still speaks to men. Three ways God speaks to you today. God's speaking to somebody here this morning. God speaks to me in three ways. Number one, first and foremost, and 98%, through the Word. Through the Word of God. The Bible said over there in the book of Acts, Paul preached all the way through the Word of God. They preached, and men repented and got convicted when they heard the Word of God. You know, when you hear a preacher, that's how come it's so hard to get people come here preaching. It's because when the Word of God's preached, God speaks to that heart. You know, when the preacher's up preaching, the Lord's constantly saying, that's you, that's you. You see yourself like you're in a mirror. And that's why a lot of people don't want to come to church. It's because the preacher puts up a mirror. And when you look in there, you see yourself. And you say, who told him about me? How'd he know I was doing this? Well, he don't. He's just preaching the Word, and the Word of God reflects. And you see yourself like you really are. And second, the way the Lord speaks to people is through the Spirit. The Spirit of God speaks to people. Very seldom does the Spirit speak without the Word. But once in a while, God's Spirit does speak with away from exactly a verse of Scripture and brings conviction on people. I've saw people come into this church, I've told you before, sit down and start crying. I saw people, when you just talk, I remember this one old boy I talked to, I believe it was in Knoxville, Tennessee. We was out on the street witnessing, had an old man, I knew, you could tell he was an alcoholic. His face was red, his hat, it was wrinkled, he looked about 30 years older than he was. And I went up to him, and I did not say one word, but handing him a tract and a little old one of those yellow help from above tracks. And it said, help from above. He looked at it, looked up at me, and the Spirit of God broke his heart. He just started bawling. I hadn't said one word to him. Not one word! And he started crying. God's Word, or God speaks through the Spirit and brings conviction. I remember plenty of times when I've been preaching, and I'd have to preach somewhere, and it seemed like my mind would be a blank. I'd pray and study and pray and study and pray and study, and all of a sudden, it would be like one of them little machines, you see, where they type something into it, and it starts writing it out on the screen like a computer. The Lord would start putting it in my mind like that. And you know, I've never heard God talk with an audible voice. I've never seen all these visions some people talk about. I've never heard God speak like I'm talking to you, but I've heard Him talk, brother, to my heart, and I could tell you what He said when He got through. You know why? Because God speaks by His Spirit. And then lastly, God speaks through circumstances. Do you know the Lord? I know this boy. He's been in about 50 wrecks. It's a thousand wonders he ain't dead. And you know what's the matter with it? God is speaking to him. Some of you in here know people the same way. Just one financial disaster after another. One problem right after another. One heartbreak right after another. And the whole time God is speaking to a person trying to get them to get saved and repent. But they don't listen. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through snowstorms and drought and heat and hurricanes and flood, death and tragedies. Many, many people, many, many, many people have told me at the funeral home with over a little coffin about the size of this little table here this morning with a little body laying in there. And they say, Preacher, I know that was God. God took my little boy or my little girl because I wasn't living like I ought to live. I want you to know God's able to get your attention, friend. And if you won't do what you're supposed to do, God's liable to reach down and take that little boy or that little girl away from you and get your attention. You say, oh no, surely he wouldn't do that. Well, I can say the same about you. Surely you wouldn't go live for the devil, would you? Nah. After as good as God's been to you, surely you wouldn't turn your back on him, would you? After the Lord letting his son down on the cross, surely you wouldn't reject God's free gift, would you? Works both ways, you know. I've heard a lot of people say, God wouldn't do that, would he? Well, sure he would. Because he loves you and wants you saved. The Lord's able to get your attention. Your little boy, your little girl, God speaks through circumstances. I'm closing this morning. As I do, I want to leave you this word. If you're here this morning, now listen, every one of you, and you are not living like God wants you to live, or you're not saved, the Lord, sooner or later, is going to get your attention. Now, you remember me up here. I'm waving my hand at you, and I'm telling you, and I'm warning you. Sooner or later, God is going to get your attention. He'll speak. You say, how do I know He lives? I know He lives because He still speaks. That's how I know. I've talked to people I'm blue in the face. It don't do a bit of good. When God speaks, brother, they change. I know He lives this morning. And I know that He's coming back. And I know that He can help you in this service today. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you one question. Do you know that He lives in your heart? You say, Brother Danny, I know the Lord's real, but I just ain't living like I ought to live. He'll get your attention. You say, oh, I'll get by. He'll get your attention. God, I spoke to your heart this morning. You might want to just come on down here to this altar. Say, oh Lord, save my soul. Don't you think it's about time you got saved? Don't you think it's about time you turned it all over to Jesus? Left that old sinful life behind and got saved this morning. God's speaking to you this morning, my friend. He's just as real as that seat you're sitting on. He's just as real as the air you're breathing. Let Him help you. We're going to pray. We're going to stand.
give an invitation. If God is speaking to your heart, why don't you come? Father, move in this invitation. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Be just as quiet as you possibly can. Is there someone here this morning say, "Preacher, I'd like to know that He lives in my heart. I'm coming to that altar this morning, getting my life right." Come on right now. Come on. Just slip out of your seat and come. There'll be somebody down here to pray with you. These that are already praying. Come on right now. Friend, the Lord lives. He's alive, I can tell you. I'm warning you. He's looking at you right now. Will you come? Will you come right now? Just slip out of your seat. Come. Let God help you right now. The Lord can save you if you'll let Him. Come on. Join these. Somebody else. Come on right now. Let Jesus save you this morning. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. It'd be just the right time for you to slip on down here to this altar. Get this thing settled between you and Jesus. Would you come right quick? Christians are praying. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Come on. Come on. Do you know He lives this morning in your heart? Do you know that? Do you know it for sure? Do you know it? Huh? Just softly, one more verse. Do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know it? You say, "Well, Brother Danny, my life's in a bad shape, but I know God's real." Why don't you get it right this morning? Come on, would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Right quick, would you come? Amen. Come on, folks. Let God help you this morning, friend. Where the boys at? Come on, pray, boys. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for answering prayers right here. Amen. Amen. Somebody else. Somebody else. Come on. Slip out of your seat and come on down and let the Lord help you this morning. One day you'll stand before God face to face. Give an account of your life. He lives today, friend. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He'll walk with you and talk with you along life's narrow way. Why don't you come on? Come on. Thank God for this one that's come. One that we've been praying for and looking for. And now the Lord has drawn him to come to Jesus. Come on, somebody else. Somebody else. Others, others, others need to come. Come on, let God speak to your heart while heads are bowed. Christians, pray. Pray just a few moments. Let the Lord help you this morning. Let Him help you. Let Him save you before it's too late.